Praise the Lord. We are blessed to be a part of such a wonderful church. I do miss my pastor this morning. Church isn't the same without pastor, so I'm praying for a speedy recovery. Amen. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be standing here. If it wasn't for my pastor, I wouldn't be standing here preaching to you today. So I'm thankful for the blessings of God in my life. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings, the 13th chapter, verses 14 through 19. Amen. I'm going to do the best I can with the help of the Lord. I'm just a fill-in today. We are blessed with some of the greatest preaching in this church. Amen. I thank God for it. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot, and he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. I want to preach from this thought today, the power of response. The power of response. Join with someone next to you. Let's lift our voice in prayer. God, we call on you. There's nobody like you, Jesus. We depend on you, Lord. We need your touch. We need your will. We need your anointing in this house, oh God. Touch every heart, every mind, every family, Lord. We give you the glory. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the house, the power of response. And this portion of scripture that we take for our text today, the great prophet Elisha is sick. He's nearing death. It's in this condition that Joash, the king, approaches the man of God. He approaches Elisha in tears. He's moved emotionally. There is a recognition and a fear, even in the heart of this evil king, of losing the man of God, the voice of God. Thank God for a man of God. Thank God for the voice of God. Thank God for direction. Thank God for his word. He's feeling all of these emotions at the loss of this great man. Amen. In Israel and in his life, he knows troubles could soon come. Amen. Amen. In the heart of this heathen king. Amen. In this immoral state, he realized the value of Elisha's voice. Amen. The value of having a man of God in your life. Amen. And I can say today that I've met a lot of backsliders and I've met a lot of good sinners, because there are good people in the world that know the value of the man of God. They know the value of the voice of truth, but they won't align with it. They won't join with it. They won't unite with it. Can I tell somebody today that knowledge of it is not good enough alone? You can know it all day long, but you've got to get in harmony with it. You've got to get in unity with it. If you want revival in your family, if you want revival in the church, it takes a church that is joined together around the voice of God, around truth, around God's man and God's leadership. Hallelujah. They know it, but they don't obey it. They don't submit to it. Amen. What good is a man of God in your life if you won't hear the words of the Lord? Knowledge alone won't save you today. I know the Bible says that his people perish for a lack of knowledge. I thank God that we've got the knowledge of truth in this house. We know Acts 2:38. We know the oneness of God. We know that we need to live a clean and separate life. We know the goodness of God in this house. Amen. But knowledge alone won't save you. It's like faith without works. It's dead. Faith is good, but you got to put some works with it. You got to put it into action. Amen. You got to take that knowledge and get a spirit of obedience. Get a spirit of understanding. A spirit of submission. And walk in truth. Be willing to put it into action. Be willing to do something about it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. There's people sitting at home today that know more than I know, know more than you know. Amen. But they don't know how to get to the house of God. They don't know how to put it into action. Amen. Like the children of Israel, as he was teaching this morning, they found a place of disobedience and rebellion. But I made up my mind today. I'm going to respond to God. I want to respond in the right way. I'm not going to miss church. I'm not going to miss prayer meeting. I'm not going to keep my family out of church. There's nothing more important today than being in God's presence. Being in the house of the Lord. I'm going to come in with my hands lifted up. I'm not going to sit and evaluate. I'm going to participate. I'm going to get involved in what God's doing in the house. Somebody give him praise. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom. Everybody say, and instruction. And understanding. You got to hold the truth. You got to walk in the truth. You got to be able to take instruction. Amen. You got to be able to take criticism and still keep living for God. Keep loving God. Keep praising God. Keep telling God how good He is. Keep thanking God for taking your sins away. Keep thanking God that He picked you up out of the miry clay. Thank God for deliverance. Thank God for liberty in the house. Praise God. Amen. I don't want nothing to get in between me and God. I'll change it. Nothing's going to get in between me and God. Nothing's going to get in between me and my pastor. Nothing's going to get in between me and my church. Hallelujah. I got my mind made up. I know there's problems and there's situations and things come and go and people have this and that. Amen. But we're people. We got flesh. There's always going to be some kind of problem in the church. You got to make up your mind to keep living for God. If you quit over problems, you'll quit the next church. You'll keep quitting. You'll never find a perfect place. You just got to dig your feet in. You got to get your soul where it needs to be and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to keep living for God. And seek peace with all men. Amen. Joash's words to Elijah as he approached him was, "My father, my father." Now we're dealing with an evil king. We're not dealing with a good king. We're not dealing with a good person to speak. Amen. But he recognizes who Elisha is. He says, he calls Elisha the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He recognized that Elisha was the protection. Elisha was a covering. Elisha was a voice that couldn't be silenced. Elisha was going to stand on the side of truth. Elisha was going to find a place with God. Elisha was a connection to the throne room. He said, "You're our protection. You're better than horses and chariots. There's an anointing upon you." Amen. You better recognize the value of Elisha, the value of the man of God. Amen. You can't be saved unless you hear the preached word. Amen. I don't think you can say saved unless you're willing to obey the word and walk in the word, live in the word, continue you in the Word. Amen. Joash's words to Elijah. Amen. Were words of understanding. But they were not words of commitment. They were words of fear. But there was really no desire to fall in line to what Elisha was preaching, living, and standing for. He recognized the blessings that come from the man of God. Under Joash's father, Jehoahaz, just 7 verses prior to this, the text tells us that in that time there were only 50 horsemen and 10 chariots left in Israel. Now they had 10,000 foot soldiers, but 10,000 foot soldiers are far out powered by horsemen and chariots. He has a recognition that Israel don't have much left. And Elisha was their best hope. God was the only thing keeping them above water. It was God's mercy that was just keeping them going. Thank God for mercy in the house. Amen. But their condition was like this because of sustained conflict, wars, troubles, struggles that were tied directly to them living outside of God's will, outside of God's plan, joining themselves in idolatry with other people. Amen. It was tied directly to immoral influences entering into Israel. Amen. Because you can't have sustained victory. You can't have everything God desires for you if you're not willing to commit, if you're not willing to pay the price, if you don't make it to the prayer room every day, if you're not willing to sacrifice, if you're not willing to sell out. So when he's saying this, in the back of this king's mind, he's real fleshly. He said, we ain't got much. I need a blessing. I need help. But his approach was for the wrong reasons. He just wanted help from the world around him. He wanted to keep his stuff, but he wanted God's blessings and God's victories and God's anointing. Amen. 2 things that just don't go together. If you're going to live for God, there's things you got to get rid of. There's things you got to cut off. Amen. There's weights you got to shed. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. Separation, amen, from sin and worldliness is the right response to receive the blessings of God, to receive the anointing of God, to receive the touch of God. Amen. Well, it don't take all of that. I beg to differ today. I've been on both sides of it. It's much better to sacrifice. It's much better to live right. It's much better to want to serve God and to do everything in you that you know to do. Amen. I was raised in a church that lost everything as far as the godly things. I remember being in 9th or 10th grade, standing out in left field. Man, I love baseball. Amen. Had my glove on. Brother Matt getting to do everything that I ever thought I wanted to do. And all I could think about was being in the house of God. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, I sure hope God don't come tonight. Amen. I don't even know what the score was. I can't remember that. I don't even remember who we were playing. But I can take you to the field and I can take you to the spot while everybody else is having a good time. God's tugging on my heart. God's saying, nah, you know where you need to be. Amen. You know you need to spend some time in my presence. I'm thankful that God still reaches for us. Hallelujah. I'm thankful God still moves. Amen. On our behalf. Hallelujah. And hear me today. today. I'm not talking about standards and beating people over the head, because if you do it and they live it just because you say it, they don't have nothing. But I'm talking about getting something in your heart that says, I don't want anything to get in between me and the God that I love, the God that I serve. I'm talking about getting a desire to please Him, a desire to be in His presence, a desire to be with Him. Hebrews 12 and 1, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Amen. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Pastor preached not too long ago, and he said, weights will become sins. And I believe that. Amen. Thank God for the voice. Amen. Of a man of God. Hallelujah. Weights will become sins. They'll slow you down. Something to catch you. They'll get you to the place that you're not ready for what's coming. Amen. You got to cut everything off. You got to be willing to get rid of some things. Amen. You can run this race as fast as you want. You can get as close to God as you want. But it's determined by your response. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I got to get rid of this. Yes, Lord. I got to get closer to God. Yes, Lord. A little more time in prayer. Yes, Lord. I believe many times God can tell how far you want to go and how fast you want to get there by what you're willing to cut off and what you're willing to break ties with. Amen. I'm trying to get to heaven. I'm trying to get my family to heaven. I'm trying to be everything I can for God. I ain't got time for some stuff. Oh, but it won't hurt you. Maybe not. But I ain't got time for it. Amen. Well, it's not too bad. Maybe not, but it might slow me down. I got to stay on this journey. I've fallen off of this road before. I'm not falling again. I'm not getting off again. I'm not leaving again. I'm not getting distracted again. I'm not losing out again. God's been too good. God's been too merciful. God's been too kind to me. So we got to get back to the story. The man of God instructs this king to take a bow and arrows. And as he instructs him to open the windows eastward and to shoot the arrow, he places his hand upon the king's hands. Amen. The king says, this is what I came for. In his mind, I believe he's thinking, it's what I'm looking for. Man, the man of God, he's getting hands on. He's right here with me. Everything's going to be all right. Amen. In his mind, he's thinking, you know, I can do this. I'm going to get what I walked in. He feels the touch of anointing. Feels the blessings of the Lord in the house. And the man of God says, shoot. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. The arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. Think about this. It's a promise from God. It's a prophetic word of coming victory, deliverance, liberty, the blessings of God. The book is full of them. You can hear it resounding in this house every time you walk in, from messages preached, from prayers prayed. I can just almost feel the blessings, the delivering power, the might, the move of God. Amen. The touch of heaven in this house. Amen. You can't deny it. You can't deny what God's doing. Amen. It's a miraculous thing. Hallelujah. And he's hearing these words, and faith is building in his heart, and he's thinking, this is it. This is the blessing. Amen. The blessing ain't in the preaching. It's in the preaching, but it ain't necessarily the preaching today. It's what you do with it. Because everybody's going to hear the same message today. Some people are going to do something with it. Some people are going to tuck it away and forget about it. Some people are going to hold on to it. And when troubles come, they're going to remember the words. They're going to remember the promises. They're going to get in an altar and pray about it. They're going to put their hands on it. They're going to get involved with it. I wish somebody get a revelation today. It's not good enough just to be a spectator in the house. It's not good enough just to watch. You got to get involved with it. And not because of pride, not because you want to be elevated, not because you get something, but because you want Him. In my mind, I love to hear Pastor preach. He's my hero. Your dad's my hero. He's my pastor. There's nobody like him. Now, 50, 100 miles down the road, they think the same way about their pastor. Good for them. But this is my pastor. This is my man of God. This is my gift. This is the one who gives me words of encouragement. This is the one who preaches messages of truth. I remember one time I was telling my boys, I said, you know, I hear a lot of times you can do too little for God. You can make too little commitments, but you can never go too far with God. I showed up the next service, and Pastor was preaching on it. Amen. He said, when you think you've gone far enough, go a little further. I said, ain't that God? Ain't that the voice of the Lord? Ain't that backing up the truth? But I think of him talking about getting the Holy Ghost. And Bishop Holmes, his pastor, telling him to meet him the next morning and pray. He said he thought that was just what everybody had to do. And I thought about that. Yeah, that's a good way to get somebody. But there came a time in his life where he had to kick it into gear. Because I'm sure Bishop Holmes wasn't there at the time he went. Bishop Holmes had to go take care of something else. Amen. And there comes a time in your life when the man of God's got his hands on the bow and the arrow with you, and you feel victory and you hear a word. But there's got to be a time when you can crawl into the altars yourself and say, God, I know you're good. There's got to be a time when you can push beyond yourself. There's got to be a time when troubles come. You got a word in your heart. You got something to lean on. You got a desire for God. Amen. Philippians 2 and 12, real quick. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only. Think about the apostle writing this to this church. He said, you were doing it even when I'm not around. Amen. Amen. Whoa. What a concept. What an ideal to live for God. When nobody's around, when the man of God's not watching over your shoulder, when your brothers aren't there with you, but I'm still going to live for God. He said, I got to commend you because you made up your mind. You set your feet in the ground. You said, I'm going to live it regardless. He said, but now much more in my absence. And then that's where this portion of scripture that everybody knows is. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That sounds good when you want to do everything your way, but that's not what the verse is talking about. Woo. I feel the Holy Ghost. The man of God said, you still living what's preached, even when I don't have my eyes on you. I'm going to work out my own salvation. I'm going to do it like I want to. That's not what the Bible says. That's not the context of the scripture. But there was a man of God that said, you're living truth, even when I'm not with you. You still proclaim there's one God. You still believe this message. You still walk right. You talk right. You live right. Your response determines everything. Acts 2:38 is good. Amen. Nearly everybody can quote it. You got to repent. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What a message. Who would have liked to have been there on that day? Hear that message? Man, so glad you would. I like the AC. I like the cars. Amen. Somebody's got to carry this leg of the race. I'm happy with it. You may not be, but I am. I'm happy with the food we get to eat. I'm happy with the padded pews. I'm happy with the music. Amen. But I don't want none of it if there's not anointing, if God's not in it, if God's not moving. Some of you that said, yeah, you'd be begging to get here if you were transported there for just a moment. It's dusty and it's hot. And you know they expect us to walk to church. Amen. They expect us to bring our own meals. They expect this and that. And you ought to thank God today. It's easy to get to the house of God. It's easy to worship God. It's easy to love God. We gripe and complain about the fuel cost. I can't make it because of fuel. Can't do this. Can't do that. What about the job God blessed you with? What about the money that's in your bank account? Oh, but you don't know it ain't much. It's more than it used to be. And now you got the provision of God. You got the multiplying hand of God on your life. Amen. Thank God for the blessings. Thank God I can get to the house of God. Thank God that he shows up every service. Boy, I see some people, they come to church, and I commend you. You got to drive and you camp out at the church. You stay here all the way from the morning to night on Sundays. Amen. That's loving God. Anybody who does that, I commend you. Because I'd rather camp out at church and make both services than to miss something because I didn't have the gas money to make it twice. There's always an option. There's always a way around. It's your response. It's how you look at it. It's how you see things. It's how you respond to it all. But then the man of God says, one more thing. Now, I want you to take the arrows in your hands. Amen. I'm good. I'll throw it to you in a minute. He said, I want you to take the arrows in your hands. And I ain't putting my hands on your hands this time. This is where the magnitude, the level, the amount of your blessing is going to be determined. I've already given you the word. You ever notice the word comes and it's almost like God leaves an open door? Some people just come up here with like a beggar's mentality. I just want enough to get by. He said, but this is where you got to decide how much you really want and how far you're willing to go. He said, you take the arrows and I want you to smite the ground. Amen. Your response matters today. And he watches through those feeble eyes. He's getting close to death. Those eyes that have seen a lot. Those eyes that seen the great Elijah, a servant to him. He watched Elijah. He poured water over his hands. He was a servant. Amen. He watched as the great Elijah was taken up. A whirlwind, chariot of fire. He watched that mantle fall down. Miracle after miracle. He's seen a lot. He knows the goodness of God. He knows the blessing of God. He knows everything that God's capable of. Amen. He's seen so many great things. And he watches this carnal, idolatrous, worldly king. Three times strike the ground with the arrows. In my mind, I just think it was kind of, I'm going through the motion. I've already heard, preaching's already happened. I'm already getting a miracle. I already got a word. Amen. And I can see him. I told you I'd throw it to you. Don't hit nobody. Your hair is still good. And I see him just go through the motion. And anger rises up in the heart of this man of God. He don't get angry much. And he says, you should have smitten it 5 or 6 times. You should have went further. You should have been in tune with what was going on. You should have let the word take root in you. There should have been a desire to completely see victory and deliver, not just for you, but for your children and your grandchildren and all those to come. He said, because you didn't want it bad enough, because you only went 3 times, you're going to have 3 victories. But when those victories are over, amen, that's all you're getting. That's all the promise you were willing to reach for. That's all the blessing you were willing to reach for. I come to preach to somebody today that your response matters. If you want a great touch from God, if you want great revival in your family, if you want a miracle, there's got to be a desperation. There's got to be a hunger. You got to go further. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your prayer life's got to reflect it. Your fasting's got to reflect it. Your worship's got to reflect it. Your faithfulness to God's got to reflect it. Your love for God, for the man of God, for the house of God, the things of God, it's got to reflect your desire. Hallelujah. And he got a temporary fix. Because he was connected to so many things in this world that he couldn't see what God was really doing and how God was really working. Amen. When you think about the magnitude of everything in this hour and everything we're seeing and everything we're facing, it should make you want to pray a little longer. Should want to make you go to the house of God. It should make you want to love your brothers and sisters. It should put compassion in your heart for those that are struggling, those that are down and out. Amen. It should get a desire in you to do everything you can to help the work of God, to help in what's happening in the church. I don't know about you, but I want every blessing God has. I want every promise God has, but I don't want to be a hindrance to somebody. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to discourage anybody on this road, this journey to heaven. I want to stay close to God. I want to have words that help. I want to have words that lift up. I want to be a help to my pastor, a help to my brothers and sisters. I want to be what I need to be. Through scripture, there is an example after example of those who was not willing to go far enough. Those whose responses were less than adequate. Amen. We could mention names such as Cain. All you had to do was to get your sacrifice right. All you had to do was to come back one more time. All you had to do was to approach God right. He saw you really wasn't dying. You just wanted to sell it. You didn't really love it. You didn't really care about it. Demas, you left forsaking me for the love of this present world. Judas, how's that silver treating you? Amen. Examples of those who didn't go far enough. Those who had the wrong response. Amen. But there are also those in that great cloud of witness. There are also those who, no matter what came their way, they made up their mind. Hallelujah. Thank God we can see all the negative and we know what not to do. Amen. But I want to look at what I should do. I want to study those who made it. I want to study those who made up their mind. I want to study those who wouldn't give up and they wouldn't give out. I want to study those who wouldn't stay down. I want to study those that the world, the devil, and every spirit couldn't knock out. I want to study those who made up their mind. I'm going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Yeah. Hallelujah. If you ain't getting nothing yet, it's best I got. I want to study those and I want to be in that cloud. I want to be a part of their faith and their faithfulness. Those who said, I'm getting up. Amen. I'm going through. I'm going to make it. No matter what the cost and no matter what the sacrifice. I want to have the boldness of Joshua to say, as for me and my house, as for me and those I influence, as for me and those that I pay the bills for, we're going to live for God. We're going to the house of God. We're going to prayer meeting. We're not getting caught up in any petty fights or drama. We're going to live for God. God's been too good to us. God's been too merciful to us. God's been too faithful to us. The word said, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Amen. But the wicked shall fall into mischief, and he never gets up. He never thinks in his heart, I ought to live for God. He just keeps on going on the journey of bitterness, the journey of sorrow, the journey of heartache, the journey of sin. Amen. I've made up my mind, if I fall, I shall arise. I'm going to get back up. I'm not going to stay down. I'm not going to be defeated. I've got my mind made up. Micah 7 and 8, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. I shall arise. That's not pride, that's confidence in God. I know who I serve today. I wish somebody get some godly confidence. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about confidence in God. He'll pick me up. He'll make a way. He'll get me through it. He'll supply my need. He'll get me across the rivers. He'll get me across the mountains. And then he said, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. I'm not afraid of the dark tonight. I got a light, or this morning. Amen. I got a light that shines. Amen. What if you're in darkness? Amen. I got a light shining around me. I got the Word of God. I got the man of God. I got the Holy Ghost. I've been baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. What do you mean? What if I'm in darkness? I've got light all around me. I've got God shining on me. I'm like David. Even in the presence of my enemies, thou preparest a table before me. I'm going to eat good. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be an overcomer. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God will get you through it. The journey's not too long today. The troubles are not too great today. Amen. Amen. You got resurrecting power on the inside of you. The law of gravity says what goes up comes down. You live for God, his law says what goes down comes back up. And when it comes up blessed. Amen. When there's a rising, it rises. Amen. In blessing, in power, and in strength. You may be in a trial, but blessing's coming. Promise is coming. Deliverance is coming. Better days are coming. God's with you. God will supply it all. Amen. I got to hurry today. I think about Samson, who failed God miserably. Anybody ever failed God? Every honest person would say yes. Amen. Every honest person has fallen in some capacity, struggled, probably not to the understanding of Samson. Amen. Who fell into sin. His eyes were put out. They put him at the mill to grind every day. He was a slave to his enemy. And everything that Samson was facing was Samson's fault. There are things that can happen to you in life that you have no control over. Amen. But 99.9% of everything that's ever happened to me, amen, was because of me. Maybe I didn't have the understanding. Maybe I was just lost. Amen. But Judges 16:22 said, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." When you think of this, when they took Samson, they shaved his head, but they never bothered to go back and shave his head again. Because even the devil, even the enemy, thought he was too far gone. What can a blind man do? What can a man in shackles do? What can a man who can't lead himself do? What can a failure who's in the middle, amen, of his greatest enemy with no help, nobody's coming, nobody's showing up for him, amen, president ain't gonna come save him, amen, president ain't gonna help him out. What could he really do? Can anybody relate? I come to preach to somebody this morning. Amen. The devil even might have thought you were through with. You were finished. It was over for you. Hallelujah. But can I tell you today that Samson was one right response away from a breakthrough. He was one right response away from deliverance. He was one response away from the greatest victory that Israel had ever seen. Oh, I wish somebody to make up your mind today. You need to quit pouting about it. You need to quit sitting around letting the devil beat you up over it. You need to make up your mind. I'm going to respond to God. God can do it. And as pastor would preach, it got to the point that even a child could lead him. Maybe you needed to be broke down so you could be led into the truth, into the promises, into the blessing. Where's the pillars of this house? And one little talk with God, one little altar call in the middle of the enemy's camp. You can have an altar call any day, any time, and anywhere. Hallelujah, just take me to the pillars. Just lead me to where this house rests. I've got a God that's bigger. And he said, one more time, God. And one more time was enough to complete the ministry and the promise that God gave Samson. In one moment, he became everything God ever called him to be. I come to tell somebody this morning, one moment this morning, you could become everything God called you to be. You could rise up out of that. You can do things for God, but you've got to respond the right way. You've got to quit doing what you've always done. You're not going to find it in the gossip section. You're not going to find it in the places of distress and depression. You've got to find it in an altar. Praise God. I got 4 minutes, I think. What time will we usually quit? 1 o'clock. Everybody said, you ain't the devil, but they said the devil is a liar. I couldn't go to one. Hey, man, I'd have to go to gym, work out. Everybody talks about David as the praiser, as the worshiper. And we sing, I want to dance like David danced. Do you really? Amen. All you got to do is do it. That's not what I'm preaching about. But hey, I just feel the Holy Ghost right there. All you got to do is do it. I want to pray like Daniel prayed. All you got to do is do it. I want to have faith like Abraham. All you got to do is respond. All you got to do is be a part of it. All you got to do is step out. All you got to do is make up your mind. But David's most defining moments are moments of prayer. In Ziklag, when he lost everything, and everybody's ready to stone him, and chaos is all around, David encouraged himself in the Lord. If you'll pray about it, you'll get encouraged. If you'll talk to God about it, now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. I ain't gonna help you get through your troubles. Your sister down the road ain't gonna help you get through them. Your brother can't deliver you. But just a little talk with Jesus makes everything right. Hallelujah. Do you believe it today? Do you believe it? That's why we say pray about it. Because you gotta talk to God. He can do miracles. Encouraged himself. Amen. And then you look at David. You begin to study his life in 2 Samuel 12. The lowest point. He don't get any lower than this. He's removed himself really from feeling after God. He's sinned. He's failed. That old prophet, man of God. You need a man of God in your life. But how will you respond to what he says to you? Woo. It's easy when it ain't you. It's easy when it ain't me. I'm just going to preach to myself. I'm going to be honest. Amen. I feel like I'm a fairly decently strong guy. I try to accomplish a lot. I work hard. So, you know, I try to keep my ego in check, so I got to be able to hear what the man of God says. And he points, he say that bony finger, all the preachers say that old bony finger. I don't know if he had a bony finger or not. I don't. And he says, thou art the man. Now this is the most defining moment of the king's life. Not what he did to Goliath, not what he did on the battlefields, not all the things you can give him. Oh, Saul's killed his thousands, but David's killed his tenth. Sang all the songs you want. Amen. But it's all hinging upon one moment. Amen. Weakness and failure has washed and covered him. And the man of God has a word for him. He preached a sermon to him. He preached a sermon that cut his heart. He preached conviction in him. And then he says, you're the one. And he has the power to silence him. And I'm not talking about blocking him on social media or text message. And that great king, in my mind, I just picture him wilting and crawling from that throne. And the Bible said he repented. He responded. He made things right. Now don't leave me there, because I got something for somebody. And I felt it in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the right response. But can I tell you, there was words of prophecy of things that were coming and troubles that were coming. And the prophet didn't cut any slack on him. He said, you're gonna experience shame. Amen. They're going to take your wives. They're going to do all manner of things. There's going to be troubles come because you failed. And yet he repented. But if you study it, he still suffered loss. He still suffered shames and problems all around him. But I don't read of him griping and complaining and moaning and groaning about it. Oh, man, I can't go to church. I can't make it because all this bad stuff's happening. Amen. These seeds I planted, God should have just plucked it all up. I shouldn't have to face nothing. No, friend, he just ducked his head. And he kept writing psalms. And he kept loving God. And he kept praising God. And he kept believing. Hallelujah. Because there was something in his heart. Even after his child died, he got up and he began to do what he needed to do. Because he made up his mind. God's been good to me. I may still reap some things, but I'm not going to plan anymore. I'm going to live right. I'm going to thank God for his goodness. I'm going to thank God for what he brought me out of. And listen to Isaiah 55 and 3. Incline your ear. Whew, somebody here today. Come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. This is life to somebody. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. Sister Trish, he said, I can't do anything about the garden I planted. But let me tell you about the garden my kids are going to reap from. Let me tell you about the garden my grandkids are going to reap from. Because they're going to fall on their face. But God's going to remember the sure mercies of David. He's going to remember a throne room of repentance. He's going to remember a man of God who got up and dusted himself and kept living for God in the midst of shame, in the midst of troubles, in the midst of trouble, of heartache and trials. It's going to be the sure mercies of David. They're going to remember it. Come on, somebody ought to thank God for it. You may have just got back in church. You may be bringing your family. Don't you get discouraged. Don't you let the devil convince you. It's not. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Come on, stand with me in the house. I'm closing. Hallelujah. Your response means everything. Your response determines the blessing. Your response determines what you're going to reap and your children's going to reap. I still reap things, amen, that I should have never planted. Amen, but I'm trying to plant good things for my children. I pray every day, God, let them be more than I ever thought about being for you. God, let them know your goodness. Let them know your kindness. Don't let them know what it's like to fall. Let them feel you every day. Let them know what it's like to have an altar every day. Come on, the Holy Ghost sweeping across the house. Hallelujah. This might be the response that changes a lot of things. This might be the day some things get settled. This might be the day some mentalities get broken. This might be the day your thoughts are changed toward God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. I was thankful. I was of men most blessed. When my heart's overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Hallelujah. Come on, let your children see it. Let them hear it. The goodness of God, the mercies of God, the blessings of God. I want to respond. Hallelujah. I want to respond in the right way. Come on, pray with somebody. Amen. If you're not praying, help somebody. Hallelujah, Jesus. I need you, God. I need you, God. I need you, God. I need you, God. Hallelujah. Sweep across this house. Sweep across this house, Lord. Your goodness, God.